As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This is Issues 2021. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita Board of Education President Stan Reeser. Welcome to Issues 2021.
Thank you, Steve.
Your first time on the show.
Sorry.
That's all right. You can interrupt me anytime you want. Wichita School Board, Wichita School Board members are not paid for their services. How do you earn a living, Stan?
Well, I actually am employed full-time at Ascension Via Christi St. Francis. I'm in logistics and supplies, been in that line of work for the hospital for the last 17 years.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up and where you went to school, things like that.
Well, I graduated. I moved to Wichita in 1970. Right when the Wichita Public Schools was the year that the Wichita Public Schools integrated. So I moved to Wichita in the summer before my third grade, 1970, graduated from Wichita South in 1980, went to Wichita State University as a non-traditional student, married my high school sweetheart, who also graduated from South High. We both graduated from Wichita State. And have been involved in the community ever since. I was on the Wichita City Council from 1991 to 1995 as a young man, then got back onto the Wichita City Council, Wichita School Board in 2017, and was elected to a full term in 2019.
So you came to town in 1970.
As a young boy.
Yeah, that was the year I started in radio. So there we have something in common.
Interesting.
So why did you decide to run for the school board position? You had been in city council. Why the school board?
Well, you know, Steve, to be completely honest with you, I enjoyed my 4 years on the Wichita City Council. Very proud of some things that we got accomplished during that 4-year time. I really advocated for South Wichita, and in that 4-year span, we probably had the most paving projects, drainage projects, intersection improvement projects that the south part of Wichita had ever seen. Very proud of saving the John Mack Bridge. That was an accomplishment that I'm still proud of to this day. We also started the concept and worked very hard. At that time, I worked really hard with former city council member Jim Ward on starting community policing. And I was extremely proud of the service of the 4 years, but quite honestly, I was a young man who was perhaps maybe a little full of himself and did not fully appreciate the responsibilities and the the job I had at that time and took a lot of things for granted and probably didn't even approach it the best way. So I was out of public service for quite a few years, though I was always a volunteer for the Wichita Public Schools. And then when Jeff Davis decided to resign halfway through his second term in 2017, I decided to give it a shot. I was appointed by the that school board at that time. And I tell you, this second chance at public service has just been a complete joy, even with this COVID stuff that's that has disrupted a lot of things that the school board needs to do.
Well, let's just,
it's just been a joy to be back and actually help people, help students.
Well, let's talk about that. Let me talk about that for just a minute. Give me your overall observations about this pandemic and its impact on USD 259.
Well, it has had a big impact on us in that, number one, I don't know if education's ever going to be the same again. Turn around starting in March of 2020, we had to turn around and redesign how to get teaching lessons to our students on almost a moment's notice. We have now learned a lot of great lessons on how to do remote learning, how to use technology more, how to then follow up on that technology to make sure that we're not losing the human touch. And I think the future of education is going to be a combination of in-house, in-person learning, and we are going to do a lot of more things with technology.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting part about that is the public's willing to do that. The Board of Education throughout the state of Kansas are willing to do that. The Kansas legislature is still reluctant and is still kind of stuck in the 1960s where, you know, that form of learning. And so there's a kind of a little bit of a conflict going on right there between the two bodies.
Have we lost many educators either through pandemic, illness, death, or decision to make career changes?
We have, you know, statistically, we have not lost any additional number of staff than in a normal turnover. There have maybe been a few bumps here and there where something maybe 1% more than the previous year, but then the next year it will be right back to where it was. So statistically, you can't really say there's been any additional changes, but there is an upcoming teacher shortage. There are fewer people going into education than ever before. And one of the reason is because of the pandemic.
Mm.
The job has gotten tougher, and it will continue to be a tough profession to be in. And so, but, you know, I think the good news is, though, is the people who are going into education, I mean, they're truly going into it with an open heart. And our teachers work incredibly hard.
How has the off-site learning experience impacted students in terms of grades and test scores? Have you seen any bumps there?
Yeah, that's a great question. We are still compiling that information. We saw a slight bump up in state standardized testing in 2020. We're still obviously into 21-22, so we'll see whether or not that holds. Our graduation rates took a slight increase up, but here's the thing that is so critical to understand, and the Kansas Department of Education is finally getting a hold of this and understanding this, is we have now got to do a better job of collecting data on our students after they graduate. We need to know 1 or 2 years after they graduate, are they employed? Are they employed because maybe they got into one of our technical programs? Are they going to college? Are they succeeding in college? Because, you know, the freshman year is the first, is the highest year that where you have college dropout. So we're just now starting to put numbers on those type of issues. And hopefully within a couple years, we will get a really good feel for how our students are doing 1 to 2 years after high school, which is what the true picture is.
How important is human contact in terms of public education? Have you found that it's more or less important?
It is still important. It is probably more important than ever before because students do have to use technology a lot more. Even when we have 100% in-person classes, you know, there's a lot of research that is now done on technology. You then create your papers, your work on technology. And so you then have to have a human contact to follow up, to reinforce things. And we are still humans. We still need that human contact. And our teachers understand that. I mean, I've had a lot of teachers come to me and say, I was really scared about this technology effort we were making or that we had to make, because I wasn't a big tech person either. But I've learned how to connect the technology with still being that human teacher to reinforce good behavior and try to stop bad behavior or failing grades or reinforce when they are improving on a subject.
You know, mask mandates have aroused some serious protests at school board meetings across the country. How has the reaction been at Wichita board meetings?
We have had a pretty calm approach to that. We had we have encouraged people to express their frustration if they need to at our meetings. We've had a couple public communication programs that were fairly lengthy, where people on both sides expressed their passions about it. And it's been my strategy as the board president is to not stifle that, is to go ahead and let people really express their opinion. And I think it's helped. As long as the people, the public, feel that we're listening, we may not always agree with them, but we are listening and that we are allowing them to express their opinion.
All right. So you're listening to Issues 2021 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Wichita Board of Education President Stan Reeser. Is gender identification an issue in USD 259?
Not particularly. It's been we passed our non-discrimination policy in, I believe it was in 2020, and that included gender identity. You know, it's really interesting. Our students were very supportive of it, and it really came down to the fact that that generation is extremely accepting of people's ideas on how they want to identify in gender. And then it was just basically the right thing to do because as we have learned more and more about this topic and this subject, we have basically kind of evolved in our understanding of what it takes to identify people correctly. And it's a lot more complicated than it was when you and I were growing up, Steve. But what my philosophy has always been is the world changes. I've never seen a time in history and of the humankind where we ever go back. I think it was a proper move at the time.
Now, so what are your views on gender and restrooms and gender and sports with
Well, we will always take the advice and the recommendations of basically three bodies. Number one, the Kansas legislature, who controls our funding. The Kansas Department of Education, who continues to work on that issue. And then on the sports issue, we will always follow the recommendations and the guidelines from Kansas School Sports Authority.
Mm-hmm. Talk about.
And I apologize, that's not their official name.
Kansas High School Activities, something like that. I know what you're
exactly.
Saying.
Thank you, Steve.
It's got like eight letters or something in there.
Yeah, that's why you've done 6,000 straight shows.
That's right. That's it. Hey, talk about the challenges of educating hugely diversified student body in terms of ethnicity, race, and language challenges.
We do. We have a we have over 100 different languages spoken in our hallways. But you know, one thing that has really changed in education from even the time I was a student is that teachers nowadays, educators, have to have more in their toolbox than ever before. They no longer can just be a great teacher on English literature. Today's student must feel that teacher, that educator, is connected to them in some way. That was driven home to me from visiting classes. You can have a great teacher, great educator on a subject, but if those students feel that teacher doesn't care about them personally, then they've lost them and they will not learn in that class. And so our teachers are under incredible stress to connect with more students on an individual level than ever before. And they have to be a nurse, they have to be a doctor, they have to be a counselor, they have to know their subject, they have to know how to resolve conflict within a class, maybe between two students. It is a lot more complicated, and it's a lot more detailed, and there's so many more layers to education than there was, I think, during my time period when I was a student.
You know, I freely admit that I'm a huge history buff. Are students getting enough history, and are they getting an honest look at what really happened?
Well, that is, you know, I have never stepped into, as a board member, I've never really stepped into, you know, the micromanaging of classrooms. The information that I receive is that our classroom teachers are as diverse as our community is diverse. And so there is a emphasis at the high school level that history should be taught in a pretty basic, generic way. And when you start getting into expanding that history, you should have your good base built up in high school. And then if you're a big history person and you're interested in that subject for college, you have that good base of understanding the basics and the facts and the dates. But then you can start expanding your horizons on theories and so forth. I think overall we are doing a really good job on teaching history. And yes, there's lively conversations in classrooms every day, but no one is pushing any agenda. I think the high school level and the middle school level is concentrating 99% of the time on the basic facts.
Give us your views on the impact of social media on today's kids.
Well, I think today's kids handle social media far better than we adults do. I think they understand what social media was really designed and meant to do, and that was just to interact. It was not designed to basically come to a conclusion about controversial issues. It was a way of hanging out with their fellow students. And they seem to handle it in a very healthy way. And maybe it's because of the way that they, they grew up with it. It's us adults that I think have trouble with the social media in that either we don't completely understand it or we are trying to use it as a tool. Whereas the young people, the students understand that it's a way to connect. And it has had a big impact, though, because of the fact that, Steve, when you and I were young, when we wanted to hang out with our friends, we had to get into a car. And we drove into a certain meeting spot, and we met our friends, and we interacted. Our students today can interact within seconds with technology, and they don't need to have a meetup spot. So it has had a big impact, some of it positive, some of it negative, but overall I would say our students handle it far better than we adults do.
Well, how can you talked about possible teacher shortages in the future. How can USD 259 attract and retain more teachers?
Well, I tell you, we work with our local colleges to really, I mean, we're basically on the ground floor at our local colleges talking to students all the time about if you want to make, because this generation really wants to make a difference in their world, whether it's environmental issues, whether it's gender issues, as we were talking about earlier. If it's poverty issues, they really want to make a difference in this world. It's almost like a digital version of the 1960s where the people got out into the streets to make a change in their world. These kids are basically using technology to try to make a difference along with human interaction. So we're on the ground floor really stressing to those young students that if you want to make a difference in your world, the best place to do that is to become a teacher. We are also visiting historic black colleges, trying to get that community involved in teaching. And it's basically a recruitment effort, and it's a recruitment effort that is critical for the future. And we are competing with a lot of different industries, and we have to make sure our pay continues to climb at an appropriate rate to stay competitive. But, you know, the other thing that kind of gets lost in this equation, Steve, is that there's actually less students, too. So even though there's a lot of retirements and a lot of shortages in teachers, there's actually less students as well. So keeping that good balance of how many students should be in a classroom is for each teacher is something that we constantly have to kind of tinker with.
Biggest challenge facing the Wichita schools today?
Well, I think the biggest challenge facing us now is to strive for a really good balance between graduating students with life skills versus we have to show improvement in achievement. I think of myself as semi-successful. I've made a little something with my life. But if you would go back and look at my grades, if you went back and looked at my standardized test, if you looked at my ACT score, which I'm still embarrassed about, you would say, okay, this person is not going to make it, successfully in our society, perhaps, or not be a leader, or maybe not get up to the top of their company. But I also learned soft skills in the Wichita Public Schools that helped me, you know, advance in my life. That is what the Wichita Public Schools has to do.
I'm going to have to interrupt because we're out of time. But we thank you. Thanks for being with us. Our guest, Wichita Board of Education President Stan Reeser. That's all for this edition of Issues 2021. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.